This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. Вітаю! Як справи? Hello, welcome to Borscht Club. Today's episode is not your usual one. Today we came to Christchurch to record an interview with Hugh Douglas, managing director of Weft Knitting Company. Over the past 4 years, Weft Knitting Company has supplied 4,000 heavyweight merino thermals to the Ukrainian army. For the soldiers wearing them, the ability to survive in sub-zero conditions has been invaluable. Hugh meets us at the entrance wearing a blue and yellow t-shirt and a cap with the trident. He gives us a short tour of the factory. Ukrainian flags signed by defenders sent from Ukraine as a thank you for the thermal underwear delivered to the front line now hang proudly on the factory walls. Hugh shows us how this essential clothing is made, clothing that protects soldiers from extreme cold during harsh winters. At the factory, we meet Ukrainian women who work here and are directly involved in producing thermal wear for Ukrainian defenders. We then move into Hugh's office to record the interview. The first thing that catches the eye is a large motonkadol dressed in a traditional embroidered shirt, a blue and yellow wreath, holding a ceremonial loaf of bread. Motonkadols are traditional Ukrainian handmade dolls, created from fabric, thread and natural materials. They have no faces, instead a cross of colored threads replaces facial features. On the table, in a frame, stands a letter of gratitude from a Ukrainian military unit. Standing here, I have a strong feeling that I've somehow ended up back in Ukraine. I see Ukrainian flags, Ukrainian symbols, things that are deeply important and close to my heart. And honestly, it's hard to hold back tears. It means so much to feel that someone 18,000 kilometers away truly cares about the fate of Ukrainians and chooses to support us. Hugh does not have Ukrainian roots. He has never been to Ukraine, and he met Ukrainians only after Russia's full-scale invasion in February 2022. And yet, with all his heart and soul, he supports Ukraine in its fight for freedom, independence, and sovereignty. I'm truly happy to have met this remarkable person and to have the opportunity to introduce him to my listeners. Hi, Hugh. Thank you so much for agreeing to meet with us. Tell us about yourself and your business.
I'm Hugh Douglas. I'm the founder of Weft Knitting Company, which I started in 1983. Now, if we roll back to my school days, I was halfway through my my sixth form at school, and I'd lost interest in school, and I went to the careers advisor, and there was just one job as a knitting technician with Mosgiel Woolens in Dunedin. I was actually brought up in Invercargill. And so my father took me up for the interview, and I got the job. So that was at the age of 17, and I'd have to confess that I'm now 72. So I've been in the knitting trade for 55 years and enjoyed every minute of it. So that's sort of a very snapshot way of saying how I got into the industry. So
it's amazing that you have been doing this for such a long time.
It is. It's been exciting.
So tell us more about things you produce here.
Well, we started off producing string vests and shearer singlets and thermal, merino thermal underwear and polypropylene thermals. And then we progressed into men's and women's knitwear. And a lot of what we do these days involves blending possum fur with merino wool. That's been our big success story, along with the development of the merino underwear, of which we developed specifically for Ukraine.
Well, this actually leads perfectly to my next question. How did you first hear about Ukraine? What made you decide to actually help, not just watch the news after the full-scale invasion started?
It was the result of a visit from Vladimir, and he came and was asked for a few merino garments to be able to send with somebody that was going up to Amsterdam and they had spare luggage. So I thought about it and thought, well, will actually, how many kilos have they gotten? It equated to over 100 garments. So we actually gave them quite a quantity for this lady to take up. So that went to Amsterdam, and then I think it trickled its way through Poland up into Ukraine. I think that's the way it went, yeah.
So that was the first time. As far as I know, the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand has already sent 9 containers to Ukraine. Were you involved in all of them?
Most of them, yes, yes. And the supply of merino thermals, but also, of course, we helped them with the collection of wheelchairs and walking frames and warm clothing and nappies and things that people would bring or have brought to the factory, which then get put in the container.
So you also collected goods yourselves, didn't you?
Yes, yes. We have a reputation for being the depot for people to be able to drop stuff off to our factory, which we store and then it goes in the container.
Do you feel there are still many people willing to help Ukraine now, or has that changed over time?
It's primarily people that have watched the news. It's mainly people that have watched the news on TV and decided that they wanted to help. So being able to donate items to our factory was their way of making a contribution.
How did people find out about what you are doing? Was it through New Zealand television?
Yeah, yeah. But we also do a charity sale once a year, which also provides some of the funds to be able to help fund the garments and also the container or containers.
Why do you think practical help, like jobs or supplies, matters more than words?
I think it's the fact that they've got people on the other side of the world that are thinking of them. The supply of thermals and wheelchairs is one thing. It's the fact that Kiwis are concerned about their physical and mental well-being. It pricked the conscience of Cantabrians as their way of being able to contribute.
Do you think businesses should step in during times like this, or is it purely a personal choice?
I think it's very much down to the ethos of the owner or the manager of the business. Really, it's very much up to them. It really is very much a personal choice, but I've had great support from my staff, so they've really backed what I wanted to do.
So, now about your staff. I know you have hired several Ukrainians. What was it like for you and your team to work with Ukrainian staff?
Well, I could start by saying that we've got 8 nationalities. All have got their strengths in different areas. The Ukrainians are very polite, they're diligent, and they have great handwriting skills. Testimony is the rag doll. So, for your listeners, as you well know, these dolls are made up without any sewing. It's all folded up by hand to make these beautiful dolls. We have a rather large one that we were donated.
This is so beautiful. Was this made by one of your staff members?
It was made by somebody from the local Ukrainian association here in Christchurch. I also have a certificate that was sent to me recognising our contribution, which says Hugh Douglas and the team at Weft Knighting Company. They made a mistake. And Vladimir looked at it and said, well, that's not right. We'll have to get it corrected. And I said, no, no, it's fine. It's fine the way it is.
What should be there?
It should be Weft Knitting Company. Mm. Yeah. So they've called me Weft Knighting.
I'm going to read it now. To Mr. Hugh Douglas and the team of Weft Knitting Company. On behalf of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to you and your factory staff for your incredible generosity. The products you provided have been a source of much-needed comfort and protection during these challenging times. Your support not only meets our practical needs, but also uplifts our spirits, reminding us that we are not alone in this fight. The kindness and effort of you and your team strengthen our resolve and inspire hope for a brighter future. Thank you for standing with Ukraine. Your compassion and dedication mean the world to us. With sincere appreciation, Ukrainian Armed Forces.
I also have the book written about the million bombs before. Well, that's its title. And it's a beautiful book. It's got photos of Ukraine. You've probably seen it.
Yes, this is a beautiful photo book about Ukraine. I actually made one episode of Borscht Club with the author of this book.
It looks a wee bit like New Zealand. A lot of the countryside. Yeah, it's a beautiful country.
Ukraine is stunning country, incredibly beautiful. Unfortunately, some of the places shown in this book are now occupied or destroyed by Russia. I really hope Ukraine will win soon and all Ukrainian lands will return to Ukraine. So these places can be seen not only in photographs, but in real life. From your perspective, what kind of support really makes a difference for people affected by war?
I think we've been able to make a difference by taking our traditional heavyweight woolen underwear and adapting it for the soldiers in Ukraine. We sent over some original garments that we've made for the last 40 years, but they actually found them a wee bit prickly next to the skin. So, and some of the soldiers rightfully complained. So we actually modified the fabric to put a finer micron wool to make them softer next to the skin. So it was good that we decided to provide these garments because we were able to actually improve the product as a result of their feedback. And of course, these garments, they're so much better for them in these minus 20 degree conditions when they're in the front line. So what they are issued with is 100% cotton thermals. And as you will be aware, is that when you get cotton wet, it never dries out. Whereas with merino wool, the warmth of the body dries out the fabric. So it's a garment that's an undergarment that's much better suited for the end use. So they love the garments.
Yes, it's very important for our defenders on the front line to stay warm and dry. It's also wonderful that you receive feedback from them and can improve the production of thermal clothing based on their real experience.
Yes, we have photographs of soldiers in the garments, which is very good. We've also actually sent three sewing machines over and a cutting machine to a sewing factory, and we've had photos back of those being used for repair work, which is good to see. We've sent them a wee bit of merino fabric as well to be able to make up basically, baby wear garments. And we're educating Ukrainians on the value of merino as an underlayer because, as you may know, they've been educated in synthetics and we are re-educating them with all the merino that we've supplied them. So to date, I think the tally is over 4,000 units, either with the heavyweight woolen underwear or the lighter weight. There's a lightweight merino garment that we provided. So, and these garments are provided on the basis of just yarn and labour only. We don't make any margin.
What surprised you the most about Ukrainians you have met during this time?
Well, once you get to know them, they're great. They are a little reserved, but they're very forthright, and that's lovely. But, we have very fond friendships with those in our staff, and also with Vladimir Rodensky, of course, who I've developed this partnership with in the process over the last 4 years of making these garments.
Had you met Ukrainians before the full-scale invasion?
No, I didn't.
What would you say to other employers in New Zealand who are hesitant to hire Ukrainian migrants?
All I would say is match their experience to the skills that you might require. They're very good with their hands, and there's others that are very good in computers. So they're typical, like New Zealanders. They cover a broad range of skills. There's also a very artistic side to a lot of Ukrainians in terms of the doll making and the quilts and the different things that they get involved in. They're good with colour. So we utilize some of those skills with one of the Ukrainians that we've employed.
Is language a barrier? Many Ukrainians who fled the war don't speak English or don't speak it confidently. Was that ever an issue for you?
No, but one lady that we employed 3 years ago, her English was not good, but she's been taking English classes every week. And but as well as mixing with the other staff here at WEFT, she's been able to, her English has improved immensely over the time that she's been with us. I guess the attitude of those Ukrainians that we have employed has been very positive, and willingness to learn English, I think, has been quite an asset for them, because we've been able to see that improvement.
Has this experience changed how you see New Zealand's role in global events and conflicts?
I think we have always traditionally been a peacekeeper, and with our previous governments, our national government, are showing signs of, you know, they've got to be careful that they retain our image as a peacekeeper rather than as an aggressor, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But we steer away from the political side of it. We just want to go and do the practical stuff on the ground.
Looking ahead, how would you like to continue supporting Ukraine and Ukrainians in the future?
Well, we're happy to keep on doing what we're doing, basically. As I said before, WEFT has become known as the depot for dropping clothing and wheelchairs and walking frames and crutches and nappies. I mean, they need adult nappies as well as children's ones, which is a bit sad, but that's the reality of the war. And the number of wheelchairs that they need has grown substantially just due to the number of casualties that have become disabled.
What kind of support do you need from New Zealanders, from the government or from businesses, to keep this going?
Well, to date, for the 4 years we've been going, there's been no funding from the government. So we've been independent and we've done it all on our own, primarily through our charity factory sale that once a year that helps to provide some of the funds, and also through some individuals that have provided reasonable amounts of money to be able to make up the shortfall and what's required for each consignment of clothing that we're wanting to send. And the cost of the containers is always a concern, because, of course, containers have increased in cost over time. So,
if people want to learn more about your factory, your support for Ukraine, current needs, or how to donate, where should they look for information?
Okay, well, as a starting point, WEFT Knitting Company website, we have a section there on charity, which gives a wee bit of an outline of what we do, and there's a couple of photos. And in addition to that, there's a Give a Little page that where people can make donations.
So if you'd like to learn more, visit the WEFT Knitting Company site, weft.co.nz, and head to the charity section. And if you'd like to help wounded Ukrainians rebuild their lives, you can support the Help Wounded Ukrainians to Live Their Lives campaign on Give a Little page.
The reality is that we've had to reduce the volume that we're producing for the next container that's due to go out in February, just because we've run out of funds. So we're grateful for anything that, no matter how small, the donations that people might make, be prepared to make.
One more question, Hugh. Do you have any plans to cooperate with Ukrainians after the end of the war?
I hope the war finishes soon, most definitely. Yeah. Anything that we can do, as you said, we've cemented these friendships, especially with the local Ukrainian association through Vladimir Rodensky, and we will be willing to enter into any arrangements that might help Ukraine. Я за Україну.
So help can look very different. Sometimes it's wars, sometimes it's donations, and sometimes it's warm clothing made by human hands reaching people who are standing in freezing trenches far from home. Thank you, Hugh, for your honesty, your openness, and for choosing to stand with Ukraine. And thank you to everyone who continues to care even when Ukraine feels far away on the map. I truly hope that this war will end soon with Ukraine's victory and that one day I will be able to tell you more about the beauty of Ukrainian cities, the diversity of Ukrainian nature, and the wonderful people who live there. I hope I will be able to teach you a few words of Ukrainian, help you understand us better as Ukrainians. Maybe my programs will even inspire you to visit this beautiful, welcoming country, a place where food is made with love, where people love to laugh, and where every village and every town has its own hidden gems. But for now, most of my programs are about help and about understanding what is happening in Ukraine and why New Zealand, no matter how far away it may seem, cannot stay aside. Because an attack on Ukraine is a threat to the entire civilized world. It is a threat to democracy and to the global order. What Russia is doing in Ukraine right now is genocide and terrorism. Russia is systematically targeting energy infrastructure, hospitals and civilian systems to make life unlivable, especially in winter, fully aware of what freezing temperatures mean. This is what genocide looks like. For the past 2 weeks, Ukraine has been trapped in extreme cold, with temperatures between minus 15 and minus 20 degrees Celsius. It's winter in Ukraine. Millions of people receive electricity for only 3 or 4 hours a day, followed by 10 or 15 hours of total blackout. Entire apartment buildings have been without heating for weeks. Do you know what that means in a high-rise building? Concrete buildings lose heat within hours. Radiators freeze. Pipes burst. Heating systems collapse and cannot be restored. Toilets stop working. Water freezes. Elevators don't run. People are trapped in their own homes. Many residents cannot leave. Elderly people, people with disabilities, people with chronic illnesses. They are forced to endure this cold inside concrete boxes while Russian missiles and drones attack Ukraine's cities every single night. This is a deliberate campaign of terror and genocide. Today I have a new Ukrainian word for you. Допомога. Help. Ukraine needs our help. Україні потрібна наша допомога. Through donations, awareness, sharing information and standing up to disinformation and Russian propaganda. Everyone can help in their own way, within their own means. But Ukraine also has something to share, a priceless experience gained through this war. Ukrainians now have the strongest real-world combat and survival experience. Ukrainians know in practice what it means to live through war, how to defend a country, and how to survive under extreme conditions. That's why I'd like to remind you about an upcoming forum that will take place in Ukraine, the Australia-New Zealand-Ukraine Cooperation Forum 2026. For attendees, it offers a unique opportunity for direct access to on-the-ground expertise, meaningful engagement with Ukrainian counterparts, and insight into real collaboration pathways and know-how. The organizer of this forum, Kate Turska, will now tell you more about it.
In partnership with New Zealand Ukraine Business Association, our Australian counterparts, and supported by organizations across Ukraine, New Zealand, and Australia, we are launching the Australia-New Zealand-Ukraine Cooperation Forum. This is going to be a first-of-its-kind cross-sector event to be held in Lviv, Ukraine, in early March 2026. So the cross-sector forum will bring together leaders from defense, emergency services, business, innovation, philanthropy, and government across ANZ region and Ukraine. And the aim is to build practical two-way cooperation, shape expertise, and explore immediate and long-term opportunities across multiple tracks. For Australian and New Zealand attendees, it offers a unique opportunity for direct access to on-the-ground expertise and meaningful engagement with Ukrainian counterparts and insights into collaboration pathways and know-how. This forum aims to benefit our region as well as Ukraine. It's not just about, you know, come and help rebuild Ukraine. It is very much about opportunity for Australia and New Zealand as well. So there's a lot of learning that could be had from Ukraine at the moment, and there's a lot of opportunity already in Ukraine when it comes to business, when it comes to management, leadership, crisis management, and resilience. All of these areas we would like to explore, and there's absolutely a lot of benefit and a lot of value to be had for Australia and New Zealand attendees. It is a very unique opportunity for them to get a direct access to those on-the-ground expertise in a way that can be done remotely. You can head to either New Zealand Ukraine Business Association's website or Mahi for Ukraine website, which is currently ukraine.nz. And there's an expression of interest form, and that contains all the information about the forum. Within the expression of interest form, you can see the event prospectus. You can download it, and it talks about the concept, the timelines, the thematic tracks, the market opportunity, all of the detail. And then also within the same expression of interest form, you can find a sponsor link, sponsor deck as well for those who might want to support event.
This was Borscht Club. Take care, and until next time, Slava Ukraine! Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and oar.org.nz. This is your host, Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.